Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Makos Daf Beis, Makos 2a, pagination is theoretically page 3. We begin the new Masechta. This Masechta follows the Masechta of Sanhedrin, which is about the judges and judging different cases. And the Masechta begins with the concept of Zomimin, which is a specific case of people who testified incorrectly, they lied, and the Torah outlines a very dramatic type of lie, which is going to be punished, va'asisem lo ka'asher zomam, that the punishment that they tried to inflict on the other person shall be inflicted on them, the witnesses. Now, as we discussed in the previous Masechta Sanhedrin, there could be many cases where witnesses are disproven, or even if they're not disproven, they're discredited to the point that we're not going to act based on their testimony. We could have all kinds of contradictory things. We could have questions that are not being answered clearly, definitively, so they're not convincing. But this is a specific type of disproving of the Edom, and as we will see as this topic develops, it's called Imanu Heyisem B'makom Ploni. You were with us in a certain place. What that means is that the witnesses said testimony that a certain thing happened in a place, and that they say that it happened in a place is a critical part of their testimony, because every testimony has to be able to be huzam, to have it acted upon in this way of zomimin. So let's be specific. Two witnesses say testimony that something happened in New York on a specific day. They could be saying that someone killed somebody, they could be saying that someone borrowed money from somebody, they could be saying that someone damaged somebody, a whole array of possibilities. They say their testimony, and it has to include when it happened. And then two witnesses come in and say, how could you possibly say that testimony? You were with us in a different place at the time that you claimed to have been witnessing this event. You were with us in L.A. You can't be in New York to be saying testimony. You were with us. That's the case of Zomimin. And the Pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yutes tells us that you should inflict upon them what they wanted to inflict on the other person, and it will follow whatever the court case was. If it was damages, it's going to be an amount of money. If it was a capital case, it'll involve killing them for what they tried to inflict on this other person. Now, there are a lot of nuances here. It doesn't mean that the defendant in the original case is necessarily innocent. These new witnesses are not speaking to that. What they are saying is that the people who testified to his guilt or to his liability couldn't be saying that truthfully because they were not there at the time they claim it occurred. That's the case of Zomimin. Normally, as we've mentioned, a person gets punished with the punishment that they tried to inflict on the defendant. There are exceptions. Our Mishnah begins, Ketzad ho'edim na'asim zomimin, what is the unusual case of witnesses that become zomimin? Mi'idim anu b'ish poloni shuhu ben gerusha o ben chalutza. They said testimony about a Kohen, a son of a Kohen. And they said about him that he's the son of a divorced woman, or the son of a woman who is a chalutza. You'll remember the concept chalitza from Maseches Yevamos. If a man dies without children, his wife if he's married, is going to be eligible, if you will, to marry her deceased husband's brother, and that would be called Yibum. And if there's the rejection of that marriage, then Chalitza is done, which is an act of rejection. But what it does do is that it impacts the woman, as far as our discussion here, that she is now ineligible to marry a Kohen. Until this time, she was only a widow, and a widow is allowed to marry a Kohen, just not a Kohen Gadol, but she is allowed to marry a regular Kohen. Once she's a Chalutza, she and a divorced woman are forbidden to marry a Kohen. If she did, the child, even though he's the son of a Kohen, is not eligible to be a regular Kohen. And therefore, when they say testimony about this man who assumed that he was a Kohen, that he's really the son of a Grusha or a Chalutza, that his mother was ineligible to marry a Kohen, he becomes ineligible as a Kohen, and if they become Zomimin, it turns out that the testimony they claim, they know that she's divorced, etc., it turns out that they weren't even there at that time. Theoretically, we would make them the same status, but that doesn't work. Number one, maybe they're not Kohanim, and they really don't care if they're the sons of a divorced woman. But number two, we'll see in the Gemara that there's a Gzeres HaKosov that you do to somebody what he tried to do to somebody else based on his plot, but you don't do to his children. And the concept of Ben Grusha is a Yichus type of thing. It's a lineage type of thing and will impact the children, and therefore that's not the way Zomimin plays out in this case. Ein omrim ye'aseze ben grusha ben chalutza tachtav. We do not make this witness an illegitimate Kohen instead of what he tried to do to this other person. Elaloka arboim, instead he gets malchus, lashes, which is a different type of punishment that's given. The expression is malchus arboim, based on the pasuk, but it's actually 39. Me'idim anu be'ish ploni, similarly, if they're saying testimony about a person, shu chayev liglos, that he has to go to galus. Galus is a form of exile. That's the literal translation, exile. It means to leave his hometown and go to a city of refuge, an ir miklat. Then it turns out that they never witnessed the event that would cause him to have to flee his hometown and go to the city of refuge, namely that he killed somebody accidentally, and that's the city of refuge concept. Turns out that they weren't even there at the time that they claim it occurred. Ein omrim, we do not say, yigole zetachtov, that the witness should go to the ir miklat, go to exile, have that inconvenience, instead of the defendant. Eloloka arboim, instead, he's going to get the lashes punishment. Let's take a look at the two drushas which create this rule. Counting up from the bottom of our page, six lines. Va'asisem lo kasher zomam, you should do to him as he plotted. And we learn from that, lo velo lezaru, you impact the witness himself, but you don't impact his descendants. Likewise, on Amid Beis, the fifth line from the top, Hu Yanus el achas ha'orim, he, the defendant, should run to one of those cities, meaning if it becomes clear that he killed someone by mistake, Hu velo zomimin, he should run. And we learn from there, but that punishment does not get transferred to witnesses who tried to impact him in that way. Instead, they get a different punishment. They get Malchus. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.